with this. What is the reason for doing this? And the Lord showed me that in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So we're planting and we're watering these youth group kids. And the Lord showed me as we go to the NYR and we go on this mountain, we have this great experience. We have all these things that get resolved, but it's like a building block. It's like a stepping stone for the Lord to work in these kids. So as they become adults, that they grow into what a firm foundation looks like because they've had those building blocks and those stepping stones. They've been able to release some of their fears, some of their anxieties, some of their frustrations, their hurts. Us too, we get touched too. It's a mighty powerful thing. But yet when we come back, we're stronger for it and we can go out and we can serve others that need that too. Something the Lord showed me when we were talking, the whole theme of NYR was talking about Daniel in the mornings. And he talked about Daniel Lion's Den. I thought it was interesting that Ron spoke about Daniel on that Sunday. It was pretty cool. But one of the things I saw was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all of them had that firm foundation before they got taken captive. Because sometimes I think we forget that they were in captivity. They got pulled from their homes. They got pulled from what they know. But yet God had given them that firm foundation that they could withstand the lion's den. They could withstand King Nebuchadnezzar's dream and be able to stand up and say, this is what the Lord has showed me. And stand against that fiery furnace. And that's what the youth has here today, that they are stronger for it and they are going to be better for it. And they're going to share with you what God has done so that you can have that stepping stone, that you can have that building block, and you can go out and share with others. Now we're going to listen to an NYR or watch an NYR wrap up video.
I believe that God wants to prepare you to face your what-if fears with an even-if faith.
The point of Daniel chapter 2 is that kingdoms will rise and kingdoms will fall. Don't be overwhelmed by them. Don't be impressed by them. Our kingdom, the kingdom of God, will never fail, will never fall.
This kingdom is for people who doubt. This kingdom is for people who question. This kingdom is for people who fear and people who fall and people who fail. You don't die like this if you're only coming for a few people. You die like this if you want to communicate to the world that every single one of you is welcome because this kingdom is for you.
And one of the irrefutable, inevitable realities of life this side of heaven is that you are going to go through seasons of struggle. And if you want to survive in those moments, you have to learn to turn to Jesus Christ and have a faith that is fireproof.
Jesus Christ did not give his life so that you would just come this week and run half a race. I want to encourage you to finish well.
There are those moments of grief and frustration and anger towards God, but then you see all the good that comes from it. It definitely wasn't worth the expense of my family. But since that happened, you can't change that. He's turned that terrible loss, terrible tragedy into a triumph for him.
I'm here today to remind you God sees in you and sees in me the same thing he saw in Daniel, that you and I needed to be faithful. You and I have a story. You and I have some issues, but we need to be faithful no matter what.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's stand and worship. Before we start worship, I'm going to read Psalm 95 for you guys. Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout triumphantly to his song, to him in song. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. The depth of the earth are in his hand, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his, he made it. His hands form the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah. Just from that scripture, I just want you guys to enter into worship with a soft and vulnerable heart, and just to just keep your heart soft where you can be open to what God is speaking to you, and just being able to worship him with joy and with the whole heart. So with that, let's enter into worship.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the land, and all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the land. Your name is the highest, your name.
As we prepare for communion, if you have not got up and got your communion elements, you can do so. And then we'll enter into worship. sing.
Jesus is the grace of God that keeps on giving. And so Jesus, before he endured his harshest trial, he had some time with his disciples, and he basically mandated a memorial that they were to participate in this, and we're to do it regularly. And so communion has that aspect to it, is that we remember the Lord's work, and we thank him, of course, for being beneficiaries of that work. And then there's also another side of communion. There's the memorial side, and then there's like the maintenance side of it. Because in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul, he teaches about communion. He says, let a person examine themselves. So as you take it, before you take it, you have to do a little maintenance. You got to do a self-exam. How do I stand with God, and then how do I stand with other Christians? Very careful reading of 1 Corinthians 11. Don't take it if you're not doing good with other people in the body, because then you are going to reap some negative consequences. And so as we partake, let us remember the great work of Jesus and examine ourselves. And we'll take a moment here. How are you doing with the Lord? And then is there any relational issues that at the moment at least you need to acknowledge and say, okay, I need to make peace with that before we proceed. So let's just close our eyes and do some reflection. Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is to be broken for you. As you partake of it, do this in remembrance of me. Taking also the cup. This was the plan that had been from the foundation of the world. The Bible talks about the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So before there was a world, there was already this rescue plan in motion. And people could not rescue themselves. And so it takes a greater, it takes a perfect one to rescue imperfect people. And that was the plan of God for God himself, Jesus Christ, to come into the world and to offer his life and the shedding of blood, which was demonstrated way back in the book of Genesis, that the only way Adam and Eve could be covered from the initial sin was there had to be the slaying of an animal, and they were clothed with the clothes of the animal, so you have the bloodshed there. And from that point forward, it has to be the blood of another victim that covers for sin. Otherwise, a person's got to pay for their own sin. And so when Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist announced, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is basically what we've been waiting for. And so when Jesus gathers with his disciples, he takes a cup and he says, "This is the blood of the new covenant." And it's only by the shedding of the blood of Christ that a person can be cleansed of their sins. And so as Christians, we need to continually confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then as we partake of this, let us remember the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to be transitioning momentarily, but we want to keep the kids in for a little bit. We're going to have Tony come, and he's going to take over.
Good morning. So this is Youth Sunday. First off, the worship was phenomenal. Thank you for that. And so you're going to be hearing a lot of different speakers today. You're going to be hearing the youth speak today, some adults speak as well, and we really want to bless you. We really want to bless those who have been praying for this trip, those who have donated towards this trip, those who have helped out with this trip, and we want you to be blessed. We also want you to realize what the Lord has done and what he is continuing to do in our youth group and in this church through NYR. So we're going to show, we did show the NYR clip. They produce that. They do a phenomenal job with production and promoting NYR in general. This is a self-made clip from our youth group. And I just one thing I want to note out. So you're going to hear about halfway through, it's actual audio from worship from NYR. And you're going to hear, you might have saw in the clip, of those singers and the drummer and all of them singing on stage with no electricity or anything. So the power went out, and that was probably one of the coolest worship sessions I've ever been a part of in my life. And the band just kept worshiping, and the band kept singing. You're going to also, I want you to be a little keen, you're going to hear a little motorcycle. So you'll get a little bit of a taste of what NYR is like up in the mountains. And we hope you guys enjoy this.
Just one word, you call the storm that surrounds me.
All right, so this is kind of weird for me to do this, but Kelsey, where are you at? You are going to be doing the promotion Sunday for kiddos. They're going to be moving up.
Of course, right after baptism, now I'm crying. All right, so it's promotion Sunday. We do this twice a year. If your kids are, if they've had a birthday, okay, let me just start over. If your children are in the 3 and 4 year old class and they have turned 5, they are moving up to the 5, 6, 7 class. If your kids are in the 5, 6, 7 class and they have turned 8, they will be moving up to the 8, 9, 10 class. And if your kids are in the 8, 9, 10 class and they have turned 11, they will be moving out of that class. And they're going to just stay in here. We do have an 11 and 12-year-old class normally on the first and last Sundays of the month, but not today because they're going to be watching the youth. We will be dismissing.
All right. Thank you. All right. So, kids, you're dismissed, and parents, take the promotion kids to the new class. We're going to have a meet and greet time here, and then we'll come back for more of the youth service.
Good morning, church family. Wow, God has already done some amazing things this morning, hasn't he? I just absolutely love NYR, and I love everything that is attached to it. God does so much work through this, what I would call a mission trip. I think this is a mission trip that builds a firm foundation for our youth that they'll be able to stand on for the rest of their lives. You think about all the amazing things that God has done just in this small group, in this church body, and you take that times 2,000 people that went on that mountain this year. So it's amazing all the things that he does that we can't even wrap our brains around. And we're just so blessed to be a part of it. First off, there's tons of businesses that have contributed to this for the silent auction. And this year we're not going to post them because there's just so many of them. It takes like 5 minutes to really digest all of the businesses. So we're going to have a poster that'll be up in the front for you guys within the next week. And it'll have those businesses on there, and you can acknowledge those, and you can, you know, pay a visit to those business owners and bless them and thank them for their contributions. I love what it brings as far as, you know, everyone coming in for the dinner and the dance and the silent auction, that fellowship, and it's brought in so many amazing families into our church through just that. And going out into the community and talking to these business owners, we've had a chance to evangelize and pray for business owners, and it's brought some business owners in as well. So even before, you know, there's so many blessings. Going shopping this year, there were a bunch of them. I'll share a few. We were at Walmart getting some of the groceries for the trip, and we had like 30-some pounds of sausage and 20 pounds of beef. And this family was in line in front of us, and they're like, wow, you guys are like feeding an army. And I said, well, actually, about 40 of us are going into the mountains in Colorado this upcoming week, and we're going to go, you know, worship the Lord. And this family actually happened to be from Colorado, So they were in town for a wedding, and they were like, wow, that's amazing. Thank you guys for doing that, and we're going to be praying for you. And it's just, you know, those little things along the way where he just shows us that, you know, this is good stuff. I was at Aldi's, and we were scurrying around last minute trying to get stuff for this for the dance and the dinner and all that. So I had all these buns. I had two carts full of buns, and I forgot my debit card. So I'm going through line. I get up to the checker. I hadn't started putting my stuff out. Went for the wallet. Gone. And I'm like, oh, great. So I step back, and I see a business owner right behind me who I went to school with his son. I played football with him. And it's funny because all that week, the Lord had been telling me, you need to stop in that business and talk to him. But I didn't. I didn't make that time. Well, so the business owner's standing there, and I say, hey, George, what's up? And he's like, nothing. What's up with you? And I said, oh, you know, just forgot the wallet. Trying to call the wife, and he said, throw it up on the counter. And I said, you don't have to do that. You know, two loads of stuff. He just had like a little handful of groceries. He said, throw them up there. And I said, well, actually, you know, I was feeling led to go speak to you anyway. So that was just another one of those cool blessings. So I love all the beginning stuff. And my favorite thing about NYR is just the challenges. This world is full of instant gratification and overstimulation. And when we get up there, there is a 24-hour period that really just breaks us down. And there's not much instant gratification to be found anywhere. So it really allows us, or forces us, should I say, to be able to drop down all those barriers that the world tries to put between us and God. And it really helps us to focus more on Him. And so all these kids are mentally, physically, and spiritually stronger because of this trip. My favorite moments about NYR this year were when we got down to worship, it was raining. It just, like, as soon as worship started, it started raining. And it wasn't like a sprinkle, like, it started raining. And I started kind of looking around to see what everybody was going to do. And I just saw, you know, young men and women just closing their eyes and opening their arms. And so that's always one of my favorite moments when we get there, is just that first day when we start worship. It's like, okay, we got all the hard stuff out of the way. Now it's time to really be able to focus on the Lord. And it was just so cool to see how many of those young adults that were just, they didn't care. They were taking it in, right? They were soaking it up. They were being filled with the Spirit. Another one of my favorite moments was jumping into the Platte River with a bunch of the teenagers. It's rare to see a kid even get out of the house, but it's really cool to watch him jump into a river that's 50 degrees. And we did that like several times over and over. And so we decided to do one last hoorah. And so we all kind of got up on that big rock that you guys saw, and everybody started jumping in and making their way across the river. And then all of a sudden this big storm popped over the side of the mountain and just started pouring on us. And then we get to the mountain, and it is hailing. So you have a bunch of these kids, these skinny teenagers, that are already just, like, freezing. And we had probably the worst rain I've ever seen since we've been up there, with a hailstorm, with the coldest night we've ever had, right? So it's experiences like that that I like to see that really builds those kids up in their resilience. Mentally, physically, and spiritually. But my all-time favorite moment this year was going up Devil's Head. God really showed me some cool stuff on that little adventure. And one of our youth in particular, Alice Peterson, man, she was struggling. And, you know, she made the decision to go, and there was a few times I was thinking, man, I don't know if she's going to make it. But she had some of these other brothers and sisters that were encouraging her. And once we got to the top, you could see that that relief, because you break the top of this particular part, and you just get this cool breeze that hits you, and you get this view that's just indescribable. It's breathtaking. And apart from my wife, it's the most beautiful view I've ever seen. So the Lord really showed me some cool stuff with that, right? So that's kind of like our experience. We are going to have to continue to make this difficult trek through life, right? But we're gonna not drop out on the race, and we're gonna have brothers and sisters in Christ that are encouraging us, lifting us up until we see the day drawing near, right? As we see the day drawing near. And you know, whenever I got to the top this year, it's just the most beautiful view. And God spoke to me and he said, yeah, you see all this. It feels like you can see everything, right? So that's kind of like a little inkling of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. We have that hard experience, and then we get up there, and he just shows us so much. And there's that relief and that just like, yeah, we're here. We made it, you know? But like just so beautiful. And God just spoke to me and he said, you know, I loved you before all of this. And that's huge, right? And that's not just for me. That's for all of us, okay? So I just want to share a few verses, especially for you youth. You know, coming down off the mountain, you're going to have the world that's going to start overstimulating you again, and it's going to try and fill you up to where God can't. You're going to have the devil that's going to lie to you, and he's going to try to tell you that those experiences up there weren't real, but they were. They were actually more real than the experiences we have here whenever we're, you know, down on the lower level. But they were actually more real than what we experience here because those distractions and that overstimulation wasn't there, right? That's why that's so powerful. And also your flesh is going to try to deny that as well. And so you're going to have times where you're going to feel lonely. You know, whenever you went up and you guys went before the altar, some of you went before the altar for several different things, and you had 39 people that went up there to back you, to pray for you. You have a church body here of hundreds of people that love you, that want to back you, that want to mentor you, that are praying for you, okay? And even that doesn't feel like it's enough sometimes, and I can tell you that from personal experience. So it's like I was telling you about in John chapter 14, when Jesus is about to leave his 12, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So those moments where you're feeling isolated and you're feeling alone, you're not. That Holy Spirit that is in you will be with you and always will be with you. And church body, it's like I was sharing about that, what God told me about that, what God showed me with that beautiful view. I'm going to share with you out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. All right, so I'm super excited to hear the testimonies of all of our youth. And so first up, we have Caden Welch, who couldn't make it, but we've got a video.
Of that week was waking up at 5, because normally I wake up like 11, 12. And God helped me feel more supported, because, I mean, I'm pretty supported now, but like, I don't really see many kids my age supporting, like, worshiping Jesus all the time. So it just made me feel more supported with all the people my age. And my favorite part of the trip was going to the mall, or like meeting new people and worshiping. It was just really fun. And Killball, I dominated. Even if it was about like how we should worship and keep praising God, even if we're going to be killed or punished, like Daniel did with Daniel in the lion's den. And I just want to say thank you to Michael, Crystal, Jennifer, and Tony for helping us on the trip, and the others who were making who made the trip possible for me and the others. Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Claire Jones.
This year at NYR, the theme was called Even If. We read through the first three books of Daniel in the mornings. My favorite book in Daniel is Daniel in the Lion's Den. My highlights of the trip were getting to see people baptized, worshiping, and getting to know my friends better. I also really liked hearing all the speakers at NYR. The theme Even If really stood out to me this year. I want to thank all the sponsors and everyone who made it possible for us to go to NYR this year. Next up is Max.
Hi. Today I thought I would share a bit of a sermon I found impactful for me at NYR. The speaker discussed things that God did in the Old Testament and how Jesus did it again in the New Testament. The first one he talked about was God sending manna and how the feeding of the 5,000 was a symbol of that, because Jesus, like God, sent them food. Also, the Jews believed that the Messiah at Passover time would send the Jews manna. The feeding of the 5,000 was around Passover time. And then a few days later, the people saw Jesus again in John chapter 6, verses 26 through 27. And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, you are here not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set the seal of approval on him." Then Jesus goes on to say that he is the bread of life, the bread from heaven, just like manna. And if it is put like that, then the Messiah is the manna. The speaker gave another example of God and Jesus doing the same thing. In Exodus 3:14, Moses asked God, after God tells him to free the Israelites, "What shall I tell them when they ask what your name is?" God then said, "I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you." Then Jesus, later in the New Testament, in John chapter 6, verse 20, when Jesus walks on the water, when he came up to the boat and he saw that the disciples were afraid, he then said, "I am, don't be afraid." When Jesus said, "I am," it was him telling them that he was God. Those were only two of the instances of God, of God's power and how he does this, he does something and then Jesus does it again in the New Testament. I thought I needed to share this because of how much it impacted me and showed me how God can control what happened and what will happen. And thank you for everyone who supported NYR, and thank you to the youth leaders who drove us there and helped set up and taught us how to do everything that we needed and showed us the way. Next up is Abby. Thank you.
Hi, so first I want to thank everyone in the church who made it possible for us to go to NYR. And this was my third year at NYR, and definitely my favorite. What made this year so different was how God really worked through our youth group. We had three baptisms this year, and I saw God work through all three of them throughout the week. And so many people rededicated their life to God every single day. The worst part of this trip was in the car ride there when it was like past midnight and everyone was sleeping. And Max just took up the whole aisle and was like snoring everywhere. And me and Owen had to sleep on the floor. And the theme this year was even if. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world, which basically means that God wants to prepare you for your what if fears with an even if faith. So this week we studied Daniel in the morning, Colossians in class, and stories of Jesus in the night. The story of Daniel shows us Daniel's trust in God and how he always had that even if faith. He didn't care if he was going to be thrown into the lion's den or in a furnace because he knew that God was on his side and that he would help him. The main message for us in the book of Colossians was that Jesus is enough, that we don't need to find comfort in things of the world. Colossians 3:5-15 talks all about how you should stop trying to fill yourself with things of the earth and fill yourself with things of Jesus. And Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. I would say my favorite part about this class was all the college students who came up and shared their testimonies and what God has done for their life. One thing that God really put on my heart this week was that you have to work to get better. He's not just going to do it for you. I can't just pray, God, help me to be better this year and grow closer to you. But I have to put in the effort into it. And that really doesn't matter what people think, because in the end, all that matters is God and your love and passion for him. One thing that one of the speakers said was HALT, which stands for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And he told us that whenever we're feeling HALT, we often forget how we're supposed to act through Christ and how we need to lead and how we need to let him lead us, which I was very much all of these things this week. But I was very humbled by the end of the week. But overall, I had a great week reconnecting with old friends and making new friends, being away from service, and getting to connect with our youth group and youth leaders. And I'm so thankful that our church is able to do this every year. And next up is Crystal.
Wow. Okay. Let me see here. Maybe I should have had this ready. I'm so sorry. I was just listening. Okay. It's really not a lot. It's not front and back of these pages. Okay. You guys have done a great job so far. Good job. I wanted to start off with asking the question, what is NYR? And this year, they had shirts made with the definition, it's not really exciting, but the definition that they have is there's a place and it says Roundup Ranch, Colorado. And the definition is Jesus, mountains, tents, campfires, worship, stars, pond, baptisms, hiking, sunshine, dust, volleyball, smoothies, drink more water, Tony, bears, sleeping bags, trees, no cell phone service, basketball, rain, and Bible teaching. These things are all great, but that's not the only thing that NYR is. That definition describes all that we experience there, but NYR is more. This year, God told me before we left that he was going to do big things, and he did. Abby, she worked really hard, and she set up a tent for the first time in her life. And even if Abby doesn't know she can do something, she can. And we were all very proud of her. Max jumped into a freezing cold river for the first time, and it was fabulous to see his reaction. He didn't love it, okay? Let's just say that. Kids using the porta potties the whole time, and if you have not experienced that with 2,000 people on a mountain, it is divine. I talk about that every time because it's my favorite part. but in all seriousness, God did do big things. We had people in our group get baptized. We had people come to know the Lord, and we had kids that really grew their relationship and rededicated their life in a big way, like not their little kid faith, but their adult faith that's going to be started from here on out. NYR is an inseparable time with God, his people, and his creation. It's amazing in the fact that this time allows for us to grow closer to God and to one another. It allows for relationships to grow. And one of my favorite things is to watch the kids just hang out with each other. And Michael and I sit, there's like a little perch area, that's what we call it, where we have our little chairs. And during meal times or if we're just hanging out, we like to sit and overlook and watch the kids. And a lot of times what you'll see are the kids playing games. They will be doing each other's hair. And Mackenzie did, I don't even know how many braids this week with beads. And I don't know if you've seen a lot of the kids. Some of them still have them. Anyways, so you'll see kids doing that, playing games. One of my favorite things that I got to watch this year was the kids slapping each other in the face with crusty tortillas. If you've ever watched a tortilla challenge, do it. It's hysterical. But I say all that to say that even with all of those things, there's time, this time allows for reflection. And it's not what we think when we look in the mirror. It's what is inside. And sometimes we don't like those things that we see. The things that we see might need improvement with our relationship with God. We might need guidance on how to fix or navigate life. And when we talk about life, these kids are living in a life now that is, they're trying to please God in a world that doesn't always want to. There's a lot of people who don't want to live this life that we are living. So they're just trying to navigate, and they have it really hard. Obviously, the theme was even if, and we talked a lot about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these young people had an even if faith. They desire to worship God and not the world like everyone else. And basically said, even if you throw me into the lion's den or a fiery furnace, I don't care. I'm still going to worship my king and my God. And these kids have it so much harder than these boys, and I think in today's world. I'm not good enough. Am I good enough? Do people like the way I look? My family life is hard. My family doesn't know God. Am I going to get into the college that I choose to go to? Am I going to get married and have kids? Sometimes I don't hear God. I don't think God cares about me. Is God even real? Does God love me? If I make mistakes, is God going to punish me? Sorry. I have doubt that God is good as people and he say he is. These are things that these kids think. Like, these are requests and, like, conversations that we've had with these kids. So be praying for that. Be praying for their relationship with the Lord to grow and to for them to know who God is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't care about the consequences. Their consequences for not worshiping the golden image was to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And they said, even if you do that, God will be there with me. And he was. There was a fourth man walking with the three boys out of the furnace unfazed. Who here has or is walking or walked through a fire? Raise your hand, please. Okay, I want you guys to turn around and look. Keep your hands raised. Look, like, you guys are not alone. We are always going to have trials, like, over and over and over again. Okay, so who here has survived because of God walking with them? Raise your hand. Now look, you kids, look at them. Because they chose to have a faith in God and to look to him when those trials are really hard, they're here being able to testify to that, right? So just know that you are not alone and you will experience those things. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So he doesn't say if, even though our theme was even if, I really think it should have been even when, because we are. I know so many families, our family, your family, like whoever, we all are going through so many things. And sometimes it's not easy, especially for those that don't have family backing you. But just know all of these people sitting in this room are backing you, and they want to have that relationship with you to help you grow. I know that I couldn't do this without my mentors here, without my husband, without the leaders in our church. So God is good, and the outcome is not always what we want, but it's sometimes for the better. God will walk through everything with you if you allow him to. And as Pastor says almost every Sunday, God loves you, friend. God wants you to trust him, love him, and desire a relationship with him, and that is above all else. And he wants all of us, not just these kids, but he wants all of us to have an even if faith. When you do that, I promise you, you will see the fruits of your faith one day. Next, we have Savannah.
Hello, everyone. I just want to start out by saying I am truly grateful and thankful for all of you guys. This church has been such a blessing. Just being grown up in this church my whole life, I'm just so blessed with so many great godly examples on how to be a godly woman and how to walk my walk with Christ. I'm just truly grateful for you guys. I am truly grateful for my youth leaders, just all they did to bring us to NYR, and all of you guys as well. You guys supported us financially, and people cooked for us, and they truly desired to help us and serve us. So I'm just very thankful for you guys that you just want to see us grow and see us just keep our walk with Christ. Yes. So there, NYR this year was, it's always a blessing going, but this year it was just, I was very blessed and encouraged, and just God showed me a lot of things. And going into my senior year, I had been dwelling on what am I going to do with my life? What is God's will for me? What does he want me to step into? And I've had dreams and desires, but God, what do you have for me now? And just throughout the week, just getting to see the kids, like I got to grow closer with people in my youth group and just get to know them better. And just seeing people get baptized and giving their life to Christ and rededicating their life, it was just gave me such joy. And And I was just thinking, God, what do you want me to do? And there was one day I went to the shower house and I met this really awesome lady and also her husband. And we just had the best conversation. She told me her testimony and just about her life. And she really encouraged me to just press into God. And she gave me this really good book as well. And she wrote me a note. And it just really encouraged me. And it was just that God, just if you keep just pressing into him and just having a firm foundation, God will show you, and you just keep following his ways and trusting him. But some cool things that I learned was So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood out. They didn't compromise their faith. These days, teenagers, they like to follow the herd. Our generation is a herd follower and doesn't stand out to have individuality. We think it's okay to serve a God and add whatever culture has told us is right. Because in the classes, we talked in Colossians, and they loved God and they believed in God, but they didn't. They just added other beliefs from other religions into Christianity. And I see that today where we tend to, oh, I love Jesus, but I also love this other thing. And we don't fully surrender our lives to Christ because we're like, oh, I love Jesus, but I also want this. Like, this is also what I want. And we tend to idolize other things. And that really spoke to me, is that I need to just have my eyes on Jesus and just God will add the rest. That Jesus is enough and nothing in this world will satisfy except for Jesus. And they also use their gifts and talents for Christ as well. I'm going to read Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Just God has shown me through that I've just been having this desire to serve and to pour into other people's lives, because so many of you guys and other people in my life have poured into my life and just blessed me so much that I just have that desire to serve and just pour into others' lives, to be an encourager and to use my gifts for Christ and for his kingdom. And also, like, if whatever God's gifts he's given you, God wants you to use them. He doesn't want you to just hide them under a rock, but just to really serve God and just step into that and don't be afraid. And God has really just helped me to grow and just to step into those gifts. And it's just given me such a desire to just do that, just to step into those gifts and just help others with those gifts, and knowing that it's not because of me, but it's because God has given me that. I'm just so, that's what God showed me. So thank you guys. And next up we have Owen.
Okay, real quick, I'd like to make a disclaimer. Everyone was sleep deprived in the van, and everything seemed a lot worse than it was. Okay, so this year at NYR, I saw God move through a lot of people, and that was really a blessing for me. It kind of gave me a firm foundation to stand on. And and it just showed me that he's not only working through me, he's working through others as well. And that gives me something to say, I'm not alone, I'm with other people who are going through the same. I'd like to read from 1 Samuel and Romans, and then I'll go back on that. In 1 Samuel, it's the story of David and Goliath. So, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you with the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This is the day that the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I will give you the dead bodies of the host of the Philistine this day to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, that you may know that there is a God in Israel. and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle axe of the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And then in Romans. I have, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So those two different verses are kind of different, but they're similar at the same time, because David knew going into that battle that Goliath was this big guy, and he knew that he was small, he was a teenager, but he knew that God would deliver him through that. And David's life after that, after the Goliath incident, was still hard sometimes. But if you read through that, you can see that he always went back to God and either repented or said, God, I need you through that. And David always found hope through that. And so my favorite part of NYR was probably getting to see Julian and Seth baptized. That was one of my favorite parts of NYR. It's just great to see my friends, my close friends, dedicating their lives to God. And that was just great. And this is a quote from one of the speakers. He said, I think it was in the video, he said, you don't die like this if you're only coming for a few people. You die like this if you want to communicate to the world that every single one of you is welcome, because this kingdom is for you. I'd like to thank all the just youth leaders for making this trip possible, and just all the sponsors. And next is, who? Hannah.
So this was my fourth year going to NYR, second year with Victory, because I've gone with my home church twice, Kentucky Road, and I'm just very grateful to be able to go with Victory, because Kentucky Road only goes every couple years. We go to CIY and we go on a mission trip, and then we go to NYR. So it's very amazing that you guys let me do this. The big idea that we learned in class was Jesus is enough. And I have grown up in the church, and I've grown up knowing about Jesus, and I grew up knowing about the Bible stories, and I was baptized at the age of 8. And I've tried to live a life like Jesus and love like him, but sometimes your life can get busy. We did this thing in class that Beth DeFazio called Stories from a Sister, where a college girl from Ozark gave her testimony. One girl that stood out for me was a girl who, in her words, made her calendar her God. She spent hours seeing how much she could fit into her schedule and how much she could do in a day, and when she spent time with God, it was only to check a box, okay, I did this, I'm going to go do my next thing. As I thought about her story, I realized I was a lot like her. Now, I don't try to be as busy as possible and try to fit everything into my day, but I do try to do something a day, once a day, just get out of the house, do something. I try to stay busy, and I find myself lost my spot. I actually spent the entire month of June and into July doing a different camp of some sort every single week, with only a day or so of break in between to rest. And I realized that this summer I started to neglect my personal time with God. I once read somewhere that, like, a few months ago, and I was praying, I was like, God, what do you want me to say? Because I don't really know. And he's like, helped me remember this. And it was a quote, and it said, if the devil can't turn you evil, he will make you busy. And I don't know if that's like theologically correct, but I do know that it has a point. If you are too busy to focus on God, you're going to go away from him, and the devil will get you. Now, I see that in my life the last few months. He's pulled me away from God, and I have all the knowledge. I've been doing this for years, my entire life. I won the Bible verse memorization at my church camp, but my heart wasn't always in it. I was just memorizing it. I want to get the prize. NYR honestly brought me back to God, and even just them saying Jesus is enough, it felt like a spiritual slap in the face, if that makes sense. We went through the book of Colossians in class, and the people in Colossae had the problem of Jesus and I love how Savannah added that you have Jesus, and then you add, I like this part of my life, and I definitely was doing that. But I also think I was more putting him back. I wasn't just adding to my religion. I'm not mixing religions, but I am putting things in front of Christ. I think the same thing can be applied to my struggles. Add more Jesus, which is the name of a book that I bought that Michael DeFazio wrote, and I'm going to start reading it. My favorite song that we sang was Run to the Father, and the lyrics said, I'm not going to sing it because my voice is blah. Run to the Father, fall into grace, I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again. And we've sang this song before, and I love this song, but this year it just really hit me hard. Now, I asked Crystal how I should end this because I couldn't figure it out, and she said, what are you going to do to add more Jesus? And she gave me examples. Thank you. But I think that one thing that everybody can do to add more Jesus is put aside all the distractions. Just give yourself an hour. And yes, that sounds like you're also trying to check a box. Like, I did this for an hour. But you are, like, bringing yourself down, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will fill you. And, oh my gosh, I want to do that, and I want to encourage my family and my siblings, because I'm the oldest of seven, and I want to be an example for them. And so I don't want them. See my failures. I want them to take an example from me in my walk with Christ. And I always sometimes feel like there's these pressures because my dad is a pastor, so you have to put on a front sometimes, and I don't always want that, and I want my siblings to see that. Thank you so much for allowing me to go to NYR. Thank you, leaders, for taking me. And a thank you to the Petersons for letting me ride in your car. And thank you, everyone, who donated their time and prayer or resources, as in money, or cooking for us. The bacon was amazing. Next is Boston.
Hello. So when we were asked to speak in front of everyone, we're given a list of questions we could answer. But Michael, a few days ago, texted me saying, hey, just ignore that list and speak on what you feel called to do. And one of the preachers said one quote in the middle of their sermon that has been sticking with me the entire time I've been away from NYR. And that quote was, why do we all act like atheists? We neglect to see Jesus as a solution. And what I think he means by that is when we have a problem with anything, really, we try to find earthly solutions to it, and we don't think to pray. And when we do end up praying, it's normally our last option. And so whenever we do have a problem, no matter what it is, we just have to take a step back, breathe, and think of how to solve the problem. The only way to solve it is through Jesus. Now, oftentimes when we encounter a problem and we do think to pray first, most of the time we are in a Christian environment, whether that be at church or a camp or wherever. But we need to remember that in all places, in all circumstances, we have to pray to God when we first encounter a problem. And I am someone who does this all the time. I don't remember the last time I've prayed for one of my problems besides when I was at NYR. And even then, when I was up on that mountain, I didn't pray for 95% of the struggles I faced while I was up there. Now, some of us who do pray to God for a lot of our problems, we may also think that God doesn't want to hear about it, or we pray too much to God about our problems, but that's the opposite of what he thinks. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. You will then experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." He also says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." God is literally telling us to go to him constantly and to pray for all of our problems and to be grateful for everything. But being grateful for everything involves being grateful for our problems. No matter how much pain and sorrow you may be going through, you need to be joyful that God has put those challenges in your life. But the quote from the preacher doesn't only apply to prayer. It applies to how you act around other people. If someone is doing harm to you or someone else, the first thing you should do shouldn't be harm, because you're showing them that your response to sin is to just cause more sin. What you should do is show them the love and compassion of God's grace. And when you do that, you're showing them that even though you also do wrong yourself, you have another solution, and that solution is God. It says in Luke chapter 6, "But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to all those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who hurt you." When you have a problem, no matter what it is, physically, mentally, with yourself or for someone else, no matter what it is, you just need to take a step back and pray to God for help with your problem. So, the quote again was, "Why do we all act like atheists? We neglect to see Jesus as a solution." So, my question to you is, why do you neglect God? We all do it in our own way, so why do you? Next up is Tony Senor.
All right, how do I follow up with that? Let's just go home. No, I'm just joking. No. So first off, I do have some thank yous. First off, the fundraiser, the auction, the silent auction, the dance, the dinner. Thank you for everyone who attended and who contributed towards that. And I was not able to attend that, but I heard it was a blast. Pastor Ron and leadership, I really, really appreciate you trusting us. Leaders taking 40 individuals, 1,500 miles across the country to travel. Liz, she also did a lot of behind-the-scenes work, too. Thank you for that. Really appreciate that. Youth leaders in particular, Michael, Crystal, Jennifer, and Aaron. I'm going to talk about Aaron here in a minute. Thank you for everything that you do. Michael, he is an expert in camping and just figuring out groundwork and where things should lay and figuring out problems with the rain and all that stuff. And Crystal and Jennifer did a phenomenal job of cooking and preparing and doing everything in the kitchen and all the behind the scenes stuff. So thank you very much. I literally couldn't do it without you. So big props to you. My wife, she was not able to go this year. I'm going to talk a little bit about that with my experience this year. She stayed back with the two little ones that we have, and that's a lot for her. That's a lot for her to handle on her own. She had some help with her mom, and just really, really thankful that she let me go with Dylan this year. And all those who prayed. We have a lot of prayer warriors in this church. And I really appreciate what you do for our group and this church. Without your prayers, I don't know. I just don't know what NYR would look like. I don't know what NYR would be. So thank you so much for that. The silent warriors out there praying for us. Also, I want a big shout out to the Petersons again. Where are you at? Where are you guys at? Okay, yeah, you're all kind of scattered around. Thank you for letting us borrow your van again. Really, really appreciate that. Give them a hand. Coming in clutch with that, so that's awesome. So I did something a little different this year. I did NYR by the numbers, and I did some math, which is dangerous because I'm a history teacher. I did some calculating or whatever. So 8 total days at 7,000 feet elevation. That's a lot. For me, I'm almost 40. I'm getting there. 40 total members that went. 1,500 miles total travel, and some day trips here and there too. There were over 2,000 people in NYR for 2024. That is the most that's ever attended NYR in history, and we just keep bringing more and more every year. So I think we're going to try to break that record next year too with our group, just our group. There were over 40 hamburgers cooked and served. There were no stomach aches this year. I actually tested out. And, so I actually ate 2 cheeseburgers this year just to see what would happen. We did good there. No issues that I know of. There were 10 sessions of worship and messages every day for 5 days. There were 4 days of individualized classes for each age group. Dylan was even able to attend his own class in the mornings, and that is phenomenal. So it's awesome what NYR does. They don't just reach out to teenagers. They want to reach out to everybody. Adults have their own classes. Boys and girls have their own classes. Preteens have their own classes. It was phenomenal. So it's kind of a family environment as well. And it's very, very bright what they do. It's very well orchestrated. We had 3 baptized, Seth, Owen, and Julian. I am always humbled by that, and it's a privilege to do that. Michael and I do that. And then we had 1 dedicate their life to the Lord, okay, out of our group. Okay, so that's awesome. And also many rededications as well, too. Too many to name off. So, one grizzly bear was sleeping in the camp, I think. I don't know. I don't have any real data on that, but I you do? Oh, yes, there is proof somewhere. Too bad we don't have that proof today. But yes, apparently someone was snoring very loud in the evenings. So. I'm going to share just some of my takeaways. I'll try to be brief, and I'll share my takeaways from NYR 2024. And I'm just going to tell you, God did some mighty things on that mountain. And guess what? God is still doing mighty things today in this church group, in this church body, in our youth group. And he's going to continue to move and do things here in Victory. So first off, this was a very, very difficult trip for me in general. I left Jeremiah, Alex, and Aaron behind. Usually Aaron always tags along with me on youth trips, and it was very, very hard for me. I'm very, if you don't know, we have 3 foster kiddos, and it's just very hard leaving kids at home. I tried not to cry at night. No, I'm just joking. No, but I really did miss them dearly. But the one thing the Lord challenged me this year individually was with Dylan to spend a lot of one-on-one, close bonding time together. And I feel like the Lord really broke down some barriers between us in our relationship and also moved in our relationship. And I was reminded of what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians about how we have many teachers, but not many fathers. And I really felt like that relationship got deeper between Dylan and I. And I cannot, it's rare. If you have multiple kids, it's rare to get some one-on-one time, let alone a whole week, you know, on a mountain, okay, and sleeping in a tent together with, you know, somebody snoring, trying to sleep, right, Dylan? So, but I really, really appreciate that. And Dylan and I had some very good talks, some very good one-on-one time together, and I will appreciate that time with him. Also, you had to, you know, I hate to say this, you had to be there kind of thing, but just seeing this massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not just in our group, but just in NYR in general, it was something I will take with me for many days to come. It reminded me in the book of Acts of when the Holy Spirit came and filled the disciples and filled the people. I'm not going to read that scripture, but it's something that encourages you. It is me individually as a leader and as a follower of Christ. It is something that encourages you and builds your faith up and reminds you of why you came to Christ in the first place. I remember praying the prayer of salvation right there with Pastor Ron almost 20 years ago. And those thoughts started flooding into my brain, why and how I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved me from the pit of hell. And we sang that song over and over again. Hell lost another one. Hell lost another one. And I'm telling you, when you see something like this, your faith, your all's faith, strengthened my faith. And I told him that too on the mountain, but it has strengthened me for many days to come. And to keep doing what we're doing here at Victory. I will share, for some reason, this verse kept coming to me, this thought of NYR being an anchor of our soul, okay? And we've talked, I've heard many leaders talk about how this is a building block, how this is one of those foundational moments in their lives where they can go back to and go, I experienced God here. I witnessed God here. God did a work in my life here. And I'm going to read out of Hebrews 6, just verse 19, one verse. We have had this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. How do you say that? Sorry. I usually practice reading verses, not today. But that anchor of the soul, okay, this point of NYR is an anchor. It's an anchor point for these young people. They set aside a week of their lives to encounter God, to reach out and be touched by God, and to learn more about God. And hopefully they will take this into their adult lives and they will remember these times. The last thing that I want to talk about is the theme of even if. And I really love this theme because oftentimes you will go to these camps and you'll go to these, NYRs. And yes, they are trying to evangelize. They are trying to draw people to Christ. They are trying to get people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be baptized, to commit their lives to the Lord. But this year was a little different. It's like, okay, so you may or may not be a Christian, but this is what it's really like. This is what it's really like being a Christian. These are the hard things. These are the hard things that you might encounter, the even if. I'm going to read out of Daniel 3, just real quick. And we've heard this before about the furnace and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their experience there. And I'm going to be honest, again, this was another time of encouragement for me. And I'll just read verses 17 through 18. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king, that's Nebuchadnezzar. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And then This is basically where Nebuchadnezzar put them into the furnace, and actually his strongest men, tied them up, and actually those men died too. And then when Nebuchadnezzar peered into the furnace, there was a fourth man, like an angel, or like the son of man, who was there. And I'm telling you right now, your faith is going to be tested. Your faith will be tested. It's not, like Crystal said, it will happen. Okay, it's going to happen. And what are you going to stand on? All other ground is sinking sand. And you've got to put your faith and trust in Jesus now before it's too late. If you're putting your trust and hope in finances and your family and your job, your career, your retirement, all those things, whatever it may be, those things might be good or whatever, but Jesus, I'm telling you, that is the foundation. That should be the foundation of your life. That should be the foundation. So when those hard times come, you don't drift away and you do not fall away from the one true King. So I'll stop there. I could go on. I'm gonna stop. I can continue speaking. But just remember, for those who went on this trip, okay, you've got to stand and you've got to have that gritty faith to cling to Jesus when things get hard this school year. When you're tempted by your classmates to do something, or you're just tempted in general to do something that you shouldn't do, cling to Jesus. Cling to the cross. Come back to the cross. You're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. Return back to Jesus. No matter what, he is there. His arms are wide open. No matter what, he is a forgiving, loving, graceful God. So with that, again, I just want to say thank you to this church body. You may not have gone on the trip. You might not have youth age kids, but you all went with us, those who supported, and you will reap into eternity what you sow. So thank you again, and I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to Pastor Ron.
Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And, you know, we received a lot today. That was substance. You know, it wasn't a bunch of shallow stuff. A lot of substance there. I mean, deep stuff. And so God's gave to us, and many have given so that they could go and receive. And then, you know, it's like there's a level even higher. Because not only am I hearing about how they received and what they experienced, but they want to be a blessing. I mean, I really heard that here and there, particularly with Savannah and then Hannah, how that, and Savannah was saying, I want those gifts. God has blessed me. I want those gifts to go through me and for others to receive. That's maturity. You have Hannah up here crying, I want my brothers and sisters, I'm the oldest of seven. We've got that in common, by the way. I'm the oldest of seven, and I want them to see a good example, you know, weeping from the heart. And I would close out today. Let's stand if we could. I would just close out, not with a, like, you know, a harsh challenge, like, you know, so start being like that, because that's already happening. There's a lot of that in this church family, and I praise God for that. And let's just continue to freely we've received, freely let us give, and seek for opportunities for the Lord to work through us with our energy, with money, with our talents and abilities. Find needs and fill them. There's plenty of needs. And as someone had read out of Mark today, that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Who read that today? I want to, yeah. So and to give his life a ransom for many, because we only have so much time. I mean, this world is like on a knife's edge. You only have so much time. Even Jesus said that the night is coming, so we work while it's day. When the night gets here, you're all done. And so let's just, Lord, as we just have just received of your grace, as usual, you totally outgive. Whatever we invested into this, Lord, we've received much more. Let that life cycle continue. Let your love flow through each of us, irrespective of age, Lord, and just continue the good work you've started and bring it to completion. We thank you for this gift of this day, this foundational moment that we can carry on and move forward. I pray your blessings, your protection upon your people. May we go in peace, and we give all glory to Jesus. Amen. Godspeed to you.